The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. We begin with this one from Family Circle, Screen Wars, How to Win the Screen Time Battle Without Alienating Your Teens. Even though my kids are now college age, I still suffer from PTSD, parental screen time disorder. From the time they were tweens, my ex and I tried everything to wean them from screens, taking away their phones, hiding the Xbox, changing the wireless password to do your homework or go play outside. Nothing worked for very long. I need the internet to do schoolwork, my daughter would whine, as if. My son would borrow a device from our home office, wander the neighborhood looking for an open Wi-Fi network, and then camp out on a stranger's lawn to binge on YouTube. Back then, there weren't a lot of tech tools available for managing screen time. Now there are home network devices and mobile apps that let you turn off the internet spigot with a tap of the finger. Internet service providers and telecoms now offer parental controls. But if you think technology alone will solve this, or that your kids are the only ones with a pixel addiction, I have some bad news for you. According to a May 2018 study by Pew Research Center, nearly half of U.S. kids ages 13 to 17 say they are online almost constantly, roughly double the number from 3 years ago. Excessive screen time has been blamed for an epidemic of teen insomnia, attention disorder symptoms, low test scores, poor interpersonal skills, and obesity. But taking screens away doesn't deal with the underlying problem, says Alon Schwartz, CEO of Unglue, which makes a screen time management app that works on TVs, phones, tablets, game consoles, and PCs, available from unglue.com from $8.50 a month. Stopping the supply doesn't temper the demand, says Schwartz, who has three kids ages 13 to 19. And if you don't teach them how to manage their time, they'll grow up without that skill. The problem isn't the amount of time kids spend on screens as much as what they're doing there, he adds. So Unglue divides screen time into two categories, entertainment, such as video and social media, and games, and then everything else. You can allow your 13-year-old to spend 2 hours online each day until bedtime, for example, but only half an hour on Instagram or Snapchat. The rest is for homework. She can trade chores or exercise for more entertainment time, and if she doesn't use it all, she can bank her time for later. Empower kids by saying, it's your time, you manage it, and if you want more, you have to work for it, Schwartz says. Circle Home, a cube that connects to your home network, available on meetcircle.com for $99, also lets you monitor what kids are doing online and set limits via an app. With its rewards function, kids can vie for more screen time or even a later bedtime. How much screen time is too much? Only you can answer that question. The American Academy of Pediatrics, healthychildren.org, lets you create a family media plan by calculating how much time is left for screens after school, chores, meals, and family time are done. But try to impose controls from on high is guaranteed to fail. You need to begin by getting buy-in from your kids, says John Wu, CEO of Griffin, which makes a home Wi-Fi router with built-in parental controls, available on griffinconnect.com. I'm going to spell that one. GRYPHONCONNECT.com. $230. Wu created a digital contract with his 12- and 15-year-old daughters, establishing basic rules about appropriate internet usage, homework, and bedtimes. The first thing they asked was what my bedtime was going to be, he says. I told them 1:30 a.m. if I stay up late. That's the hardest part. If you want your kids to moderate their screen use, you need to model that behavior, says Caroline Knorr, parenting editor at Common Sense Media. One of kids' main concerns is how much time their parents are spending on screens, she says. It goes both ways. Here's the truth. Changing your family's screen culture really does start with you. screen time, controls on the latest smartphones can help you manage your own addictive habits too, Nor adds. Or try analog things like device-free dinners or a weekly night of board games. Sign up for free screen-free week from April 29th to May 5th and do some outdoor activities. Remember those. Next from Real Simple, it's the short list, five books that won't disappoint. First, we have a spy novel. Marie Mitchell isn't the usual Cold War novel protagonist. She's a young black woman working in an almost entirely white, male-staffed FBI. As her career stalls, she's recruited by a CIA operative to help the U.S. overthrow the leader of an African country by seduction. But when she develops real feelings for the revolutionary, she begins to question her duty to country. Lauren Wilkinson's novel, American Spy, inspired by true events, is a thrilling, original read. I'll spell her last name, Wilkinson, W-I-L-K-I-N-S-O-N, and the book, American Spy. Next, great for a book club. Though she was a successful model, Lee Miller knew she wanted more. After moving to Paris to become an artist, she begins a rocky romance with photographer Man Ray, who teaches her the craft. In the book, The Age of Light, a rich historical novel set in 1930s Paris and the front lines of World War II, Whitney Scherer, that's the author's name, S-C-H-A-R-E-R, spotlights a woman who was ahead of, but still held back by, her time. Next, a family drama. In Anissa Gray's, that's G-R-A-Y, book, The Care and Feeding of Ravenously Hungry Girls, three sisters deal with painful choices after the eldest, Althea, a pillar of her Michigan community, is found guilty of fraud. Lillian and Viola, who were largely raised by Althea when their preacher father fell short, struggle to care for Althea's daughters in the house they grew up in. Gray's absorbing novel is about family and the things we hunger for. Next, a comforting read. If you're reading this magazine feeling permanently chilly and ready for spring, Isabel Gillies' book, and I'll spell that G-I-L-L-I-E-S, and the book, Cozy, might help you appreciate, or at least better tolerate, the cold weeks ahead. In this fun tribute to that snuggly feeling, Gillies blends first-person essays and travelogues, recipes and tips to show that coziness isn't all blankets and candles. It's a way of looking at the world in a new light. And last, a medical memoir. Overnight, Judy Goldwyn's life is transformed when her husband Henry is paralyzed from a routine back procedure. Together, her memoir of becoming Henry's advocate and caretaker. The book name was Together. He relies on her for everything from changing his catheter to getting in the car. It's part portrait of a 40-year-old marriage and part indictment of our medical system. Goldman's beautiful, deeply honest book is for anyone who has faced down change. Her last name, G-O-L-D-M-A-N. From Good Housekeeping, Mom Magic gets kids talking. Expert-approved strategies to help open conversational floodgates. If you can't coax more than a one-word answer out of your son or daughter, you need a new strategy to spark more meaningful interactions. Conversational skills play an integral role in social development, but we don't always think about how to model them, says licensed social worker and author of No More Mean Girls, Katie Hurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y. Learning to ask just right questions at the most opportune times can help. First, unplug and engage. In a world that communicates largely through text, kids don't often see their parents using their well-honed conversation skills, Hurley says. So put down that smartphone and pick up a tool like Table Topics for Kids, a deck of cards with 40 fun, elementary school-age appropriate questions. Having those in hand will encourage your kids to open up and focus on you instead of their screens. Provide talking points. Having a bank of topics helps parents avoid the urge to rely on information gathering and removes the pressure to come up with ideas. Kids tell me it feels stressful when it's a series of questions, Hurley says. Starting a conversation about something totally unrelated relieves that tension. one of our favorite table topics, head scratchers. Would you rather have Mary Poppins or Willy Wonka as a babysitter? We'll take your chatter to a whole new level. Bonus benefits. Not only will you get to know your children better, but they will blossom socially, too. When kids learn effective communication skills, they're better able to assert their needs, seek help, and relate to others, Hurley says. From Real Simple, relating, four ways to make someone's day. These easy acts of goodwill help your fellow humans and you too. First, say thank you and mean it. An intentional act of gratitude, acknowledging and appreciating a person, whether it's someone you know or a stranger, is one of the most effective ways to boost well-being for both the giver and the receiver of this kindness. My organization encourages and studies kindness, and a hospital administrator once told us about thanking a janitor in the middle of the hallway. The janitor teared up and said that no one had ever thanked him during his many years there. The administrator's voice swelled with emotion as she told us the story. Gratitude goes a long way. And that was Jacqueline Lindsay, co-founder and the CEO of Kindless.org, a nonprofit based in Brooklyn, New York, that offers resources to help individuals, communities, workplaces, and schools use kindness to address some of the world's greatest challenges. Two, take something off their plate. I live in a small Buddhist community in South Korea, and we share chores. One day it was my turn to do the dishes, but I was really busy and felt overwhelmed. Someone else in my community offered to do them for me, and I was so relieved and thankful. Acting in a spirit of generosity is a way to be compassionate, and for Buddhists, compassion is such an important part of our practice. You can surprise your spouse by paying the bills, doing the laundry. It doesn't have to be a huge task, but when they realize it's done, they will be so relieved to have one less thing to worry about. This by Haiman Shinim, a Zen Buddhist teacher and the author of Love for Imperfect Things, How to Accept Yourself in a World Striving for Perfection. He lives in Seoul, South Korea. I'll spell his last name, S-U-N-I-M. Three, bite your tongue. More people than we like to think move through this world without enough basic emotional support. They want to connect, and listening to them helps that connection happen. But listeners often respond with a parable about their life. Very quickly, a conversation can go from helping a friend in need to talking about how something similar happened to you, and you know how it feels. The person who wants to be heard is left with small wars raging inside her head and heart. When I'm interrupting someone, it's often because I have a lot of energy. But if I take a deep breath, relax my shoulders, and focus on the person in front of me, I'll slow myself down enough to calmly listen. And that was Ashley C. Ford, F-O-R-D, a writer, podcaster, and educator who lives in Brooklyn, New York. She's writing a memoir. And last, share a song. Brightening the day of someone going through something's very tough. Such as an illness, divorce, or a job loss. Doesn't have to be complicated. Try simply posting a song on their Facebook page. You can also post a funny movie trailer or a video of you saying hello. I learned how meaningful this can be when I was going through cancer treatment. One day I was having a particularly difficult time, and I got a big pick-me-up when I opened Facebook and saw that a friend from the opposite coast had posted one of his favorite songs on my timeline. I loved the song and went back to that post often to listen to it. But I also loved that he shared something that meant a lot to him. It was a gift he could give with joy and in a matter of seconds. And that was Kelsey Crowe, Ph.D., founder of Help Each Other Out, which provides workshops on empathy, and co-author of There Is No Good Card for This, What to Say and Do When Life is Scary, Awful, and Unfair to People You Love. She lives in San Francisco. I'll spell her last name, too, C-R-O-W-E. Next, from Good Housekeeping, Aldi Premier Poultry. Just season, roast, and serve. This fresh whole chicken is a go-to for our cooking pros, and our registered dietitian thinks, thanks to its impressive quality, crowd-pleasing versatility, and unbeatable value. So they're They are giving this the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Why it earned the seal? It was produced with only the most responsible poultry raising practices. Aldi's Never Any Whole Chicken met our Nutrition Lab's rigorous evaluation standards. Antibiotic and hormone-free. Federal law bans hormones in poultry. Never Any's standards are stricter. Its chickens are also raised without antibiotics, one potentially helpful way to limit exposure to unneeded meds. Protein rich. With at least 21 grams of protein per 3-ounce serving, it's super satisfying. Cook one at the beginning of the week so it'll be ready to use in sandwiches, on top of salads and stir fries, or as a nutrient-packed snack. Heart health. The American Heart Association recommends poultry over red and processed meats, which are often higher in saturated fat and sodium. Aim to swap in chicken for those at least twice a week. And fresh, never frozen. Buying fresh means you won't have to wait for the bird to defrost before cooking or risk losing flavor to freezer burn. For the most delicious results, use it within 1 to 2 days. For simple and delicious weeknight meal, rub with olive oil, then sprinkle with fresh thyme, salt, and pepper before cooking. From Real Simple, Now What? Smart fixes for life's little disasters. And we've got three here. First, there's something in my eye. The fix? Immediately flood the eye with water or artificial tears, says Asumpta Madhu, MD, an ophthalmologist at NYU Langone Health in New York City. This will help float a piece of dirt or an eyelash out of the lower lid area. Continue flushing the eye until the irritating item's removed. Resist the urge to rub the eye, which could scratch or injure the cornea, says Madhu. And while the irritation might feel uncomfortable, know that there's actually no way to get something stuck behind the eye. If you're experiencing extreme redness, sensitivity to light, problems with vision or pain, of course, see your doctor. Next, I left my sweater on a hook and there's a stretched out spot. The fix? In a basin or sink, soak the sweater in very cold water with a delicate detergent. This makes the fabric easier to manipulate, says Miriam Maids, owner of AlterKnit, a clothing repair service in New York City that specializes in knits and wovens. Let the sweater sit for 10 minutes, then remove it and gently squeeze out excess water using your fingertips. Lay it down flat, either on a drying rack or on a flat surface on top of a clean towel. Never wring out woolen fabrics. Reshape the stretched out area by pulling very lightly around it. Once the item is dry, steam or iron the sweater on a very low setting to set the fabric in place. And last, I'm worried about my pipes freezing when I'm away. The fix, if you'll be gone overnight, or you know that freezing temperatures will hit while you're away, open cabinet doors under sinks so warm air can get in, says Shane Wolkensek, owner of Sterling Craft Plumbing and Bath in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Also, shut off the water supply to the entire house or apartment to prevent any flooding in case pipes do freeze. Turn faucets slightly on so they produce a consistent drip. You don't need a steady stream, says Wolkensek. This will drain the remaining water in the system and provide an escape route for any pressure that builds up, helping prevent more problems. Focus on faucets on your home's exterior walls, often the kitchen sink, as these are the most likely to freeze. Probably we could have used that a month or two ago. We move now to the recipes. From Real Simple, we've got a couple. Green chili meatballs. Active time 15 minutes, total time 25, serves 4. You will need 1/4 cup cotija, that's C-O-T-I-J-A, I might be saying it wrong, cheese, crumbled, plus more for serving. Maybe it's cotija. 1/4 cup crushed tortilla chips, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh cilantro leaves and tender stems, plus more for serving, 1 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, 1 teaspoon dried oregano, 1 large egg, 1 4.5 ounce can chopped green chilies, 1/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons sour cream divided, 1 pound ground beef chuck, a tablespoon canola oil, an 11-ounce jar of salsa verde, that would be green, one jalapeno, thinly sliced for serving, and lime wedges for serving. Preheat your oven to 400. Whisk the cheese, tortilla chips, cilantro, salt, cumin, oregano, egg, green chilies, and a quarter cup of the sour cream in a large bowl. Add beef and, using a fork, stir gently until evenly combined. Shape mixture into 16 1-inch meatballs and place in a single layer on a parchment-lined baking sheet. Heat oil in a large oven-proof skillet over medium-high. Add meatballs and cook until golden brown on the underside, about 3 minutes. Flip meatballs and add salsa verde, gently shaking the skillet to help distribute the sauce. Transfer skillet to the oven and bake until meatballs are just cooked through, 8 to 10 minutes. Whisk remaining 2 tablespoons sour cream and 1 tablespoon water in a small bowl. Drizzle sour cream mixture over the meatballs and top with cheese, cilantro, and jalapeno. Serve with lime wedges. And next, spicy fennel fried shrimp and celery. Active and total time are both 15 minutes, and this serves 4. You need 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt, 1 teaspoon crushed red pepper, 2 teaspoons fennel seeds, 1 teaspoon anise seeds, 1.5 pounds large raw tail-on shrimp, peeled and deveined, 3 tablespoons cornstarch, 1/4 cup canola oil, 4 celery sticks cut into 1.5-inch pieces, leaving reserved for serving, 1 lemon cut into wedges for serving. Place salt and crushed red pepper in a large bowl. Combine fennel and anise seeds on a cutting board and roughly chop. Add chopped seeds to the salt mixture and mix to combine. Add shrimp and toss to coat. Add cornstarch and toss until evenly coated. Heat oil in a large skillet over medium-high. Working in 2 batches, add shrimp to the skillet in a single layer and cook, turning once, until golden brown and just cooked through, about 1 to 2 minutes per side. Transfer to a platter. Add celery to the skillet and cook, tossing occasionally until it begins to brown, about 1 minute. Transfer to the platter with shrimp and top with celery leaves. Serve with lemon wedges. And this next one for your snacking pleasure, nacho popcorn. Active time and total time, 5 minutes, and it makes 10 cups. Lightly spray 10 cups popped popcorn from 1/3 cup of kernels or 1 3.29-ounce bag with olive oil cooking spray. Toss with 3 tablespoons nutritional yeast, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/4 teaspoon each onion powder, garlic powder, and cayenne pepper in a large bowl until evenly coated. Add up to 1/4 teaspoon more cayenne for even spicier popcorn. From Real Simple, the staple, subtly sweet and nutty from whole wheat graham flour, graham crackers can do way more than sandwich chocolate and marshmallows. Blitzed with pretzels, they make a salty, crunchy coating for chicken tenders. They turn a batch of homemade granola bars into a nostalgic after-school snack, and layered with tangy orange-flavored whipped cream, they soften ever so slightly for a new take on an icebox cake. With range like this, you'd better buy an extra box. And we have quick recipes for those items. First, graham-crusted chicken tenders. Season 2 pounds chicken tenders with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Dip in 2 beaten eggs, then dredge in a mixture of 1 cup each crushed graham crackers and pretzels. Coat the tenders with cooking spray and place on a baking sheet. Bake at 425, flipping midway until cooked through, 18 minutes. No-bake graham cracker squares. Mix 2 cups each chopped graham crackers and quick-cooking oats with 1/2 cup each dried cranberries and roasted peanuts, 1/4 cups unsweetened shredded coconut, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Bring 1/2 cup of honey and 1/4 cup brown sugar to a boil in a small pot. Stir in 1/2 cup of peanut butter and 1/2 teaspoon vanilla. Stir into the oat mixture. press into a greased 8-inch square dish and chill, cut into bars. And last, orange dreamsicle icebox cake. Beat 8 ounces of cream cheese, 14-ounce sweetened condensed milk, 2 teaspoons orange zest, 2 tablespoons orange juice, together with an electric mixer until smooth. Beat 2 cups heavy cream into stiff peaks, fold into the cream cheese mixture. Layer the mixture with graham crackers in a 9-inch baking dish, layering to the top. Cover and refrigerate overnight. Top with whipped cream and sliced oranges. Next, from Real Simple, we've got a big batch chicken noodle soup. Active time is 35 minutes, total time 1 hour and 40, and this serves 12. You need 1 4-pound whole chicken, 8 cups low-sodium chicken broth, 2 dried bay leaves, 1 head of garlic, halved, 6 teaspoons kosher salt, divided, 3 tablespoons unsalted butter, 5 carrots, thinly sliced, 4 stalks of celery, thinly sliced, 1 yellow onion, chopped, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh thyme, 1 pound of egg noodles, 3 tablespoons chopped fresh flat leaf parsley, and 3/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper. Combine the chicken, broth, bay leaves, garlic, 2 teaspoons salt, and 8 cups water in a large pot. Bring to a boil, then reduce to simmer. Cover and simmer until chicken is cooked through 35 to 40 minutes. Remove from heat. Transfer the chicken to a cutting board. Strain stock into a large bowl and discard the solids. Remove meat from the chicken and shred, discarding skin and bones. Wipe the pot clean, then melt butter over medium-high. Add carrots, celery, onion, and thyme, and cook, stirring occasionally until softened, about 8 minutes. Add reserved stock and remaining 4 teaspoons salt. Bring to a boil, stirring occasionally. Add noodles. Cook according to package directions. Remove from heat and stir in the shredded chicken, parsley, and pepper. From Good Housekeeping, we've got a quick little recipe here for a blueberry banana nut smoothie. Active and total time, 5 minutes, and it's a pretty purple color. In a blender, puree 1 cup unsweetened almond milk, 1 frozen banana, 1/2 cup of frozen blueberries, and 2 tablespoons almond butter until smooth. This serves 2. And from Real Simple, a soothing recipe for cold and flu season. Warm up with this homemade tonic packed with immunity-boosting ingredients like cinnamon and ginger. The best part, it comes together in just 10 minutes. Rinse and slice 1 large knob of unpeeled ginger, about 4 inches long. Place in a medium pot with 2 cinnamon sticks, 1 star anise, and 4 cups water. Bring to a boil, remove from heat, and let it steep covered for about 10 minutes. Strain into a large glass container and stir in 2 tablespoons honey, 2 tablespoons apple cider vinegar, and the juice from 1 lemon. Enjoy warm or refrigerate and reheat as needed. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.